We had just thousands of people that would come, which sounds great. I mean, we were baptizing people on the spot. And then we did follow up on every person that made a decision. And we did this after a couple of years. And Ben, can I tell you, not one person ended up sticking with our church or staying connected to the church or getting in a group or anything like that after that event.
Yeah.
And at some point we were like, you know, is this really doing what we wanted to do?
You have to move past the only measure of an event is, did people like it and did people show up? Welcome to another episode of the Disciple Making Leader podcast. I'm your host today, Ben Borgman, the Executive Director of Disciple First. And I got with me my good buddy over here, Pastor Craig.
Hey. You know, when you said your name, I wanted to have a bullhorn, or just, you know, shoot some confetti off or something like that just to celebrate.
Not in mocking.
No.
Okay. I know,
Yeah, a celebration.
Yeah. Okay.
We get to have this conversation, and this is gonna be a good one. This is gonna be a very, very practical conversation today.
Yeah, this is something that within coaching, again, so this is our third episode kind of in a series where we're talking about common coaching conversations that we're having every day with churches. And so this is one I would say is 100% of every church we've worked with over the last 3 or 4 years since we've been coaching, we have to have this conversation with them. It's something I think is universal.
Yep.
If you're really trying to develop a disciple-making culture, you really want to create movement along a pathway and develop people, this has to be there, and this is something that we always can get better at and always address.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about evaluation and why that, you know, evaluating effectiveness of program, not just evaluating so that we can say, hey, great, this was worth the money we spent or time we spent, but really about effectiveness, about moving people down a pathway. Mm-hmm. And so we're just going to kind of get into that, just get our hands dirty a little bit, because I do think it's something that's extremely critical. You know, you guys do a great job. You know, I've seen pictures of whiteboards with just all the things and activities and how many people came to this, and how many people got saved, how many lost people were at this event.
Mm-hmm.
How many disciple makers do we have? But really taking an honest look at kind of lifting the hood, if you would, of, hey, this is our ministry season or a year, and say, really, let's ask honest questions about was that event or is this activity or ministry initiative effective?
Yeah. And you know, this is a critical thing to do, to evaluate. If this is the leader's job, the leader's job is to evaluate the health, and it's always ebbing and flowing. It's always changing. Things that were strong this year are not always strong the next year. You see this in sports, you see this in church life and business and all kinds. So there, you know, you have to evaluate, and then you have to emphasize the areas that you want to build up and strengthen, right?
Yeah.
And so how would you know what to emphasize or where to lean in or where to start tinkering, you know, if you don't do an honest evaluation? And so I would just say from the jump, though, Ben, evaluation, I think, is hard in a church.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe for a couple of reasons, you may think of some just out of your experience. But one is that sometimes people get really defensive when you start evaluating their thing, right? Like, well, what's wrong with my event?
Yeah.
You know, my event was just fine, or my ministry is great. And it's hard for them to be objective about it without getting their emotions tied up to it. And so a lot of times we don't want to evaluate because we know, okay, if I really do an evaluation, Susie in the preschool area is going to hit the fan, you know, because she doesn't like us saying anything negative about her area. Or they're going to say, you're being critical or you're being negative, when you're just trying to evaluate what the facts are. So I think people are generally defensive in an evaluation. They should not be, and that should be something you work at as a culture. Hey, we're always going to evaluate, and we're always going to look at good things and things that could be better. The goal is not to point the finger at who did something wrong. The goal is to, how can we improve?
Yeah.
How can we make it even better? You know, what was good, how can we make it even better? And what was bad, how can we avoid that next time? But I think defensiveness is one reason why it's hard.
And I think churches we're working with through a coaching relationship with regards to establishing a disciple-making culture, we don't talk about evaluation before a lot of groundwork is laid before that. One of which being, before you start evaluating, you have to have something to evaluate against. Excuse me. And that becomes the spiritual growth pathway. We use Jesus as our model to develop this pathway. How do we help a church establish it? Because it basically develops it develops this idea of purpose.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have that standard of purpose, what are you going to evaluate against? Yeah. And I'm struggling.
Are you okay, Ben? you need a Topo Chico.
Yeah,
is what
I need
you
something.
Need.
I need something. And I think that goes to your point of if we don't have anything to evaluate against, it becomes you're just evaluating me.
Right.
Because that was my initiative.
No, you're right. And honestly, Ben, pastors put their heart and soul into it, right? I mean, it's usually their baby, their creation, it's their idea. And so that all lends to the defensiveness of it. I think another reason, which is kind of what you were coming to, is just a confusing purpose. You know, we a lot of times we'll do an event and, okay, the event was good because people attended the event. Almost that's the number one criteria of success. Did anybody show up or did more people show up than last year? But we often have a confusing purpose as to why are we doing that event. You may do an event that's very successful from an attendance standpoint, but is failing miserably in the purpose for which it was intended.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that gets back to having a standard. What are we trying to accomplish along this pathway? And you have events at each one. For example, if we had an event for people to be in church membership, right? But and 1,000 people showed up, but nobody joined, you know, well, then was that really that successful? You know, okay, you know, maybe you won't have 1,000 show up for a church membership thing, but I'm just using that as an illustration. Yeah. What really happens is, hey, we had an outreach event and we had 1,000 people show up or 500 or 300, but they were all church members.
Yeah.
Well, then it felt like it was a great event. But was it really because nobody showed up that was lost or unchurched? And so I think this is where if you have a fuzzy purpose, if the purpose is just to have gather people in the room, then that's probably not a dialed in enough purpose, right? So it's hard because we often don't have our objective set clearly beforehand.
Yeah.
And then thirdly, I would just say is that many times when we do evaluate events, we put on rose-colored glasses. You know, I'm Pollyanna on staff. People are, I know that. That's who I am. I'm always optimistic, and I'm always going to say, "Oh, it's going to be great."
Yeah.
You know, and I have realism, realistic people around me that say, "Craig, it's not good. It's not going to be that great." But sometimes we can put on rose-colored glasses and say things are better than what they really are.
Yeah.
And so just being honest and saying, hey, things weren't that great. It doesn't mean you're failing if an event is not doing well or a program is not doing well. You know, it's okay. That's why you're here. I always say you're here to fix the problems. If everything's going great, then, you know, what are you here for? You know, leaders are here to assess, to evaluate, and then find out what the problem is, diagnose how we can get better and go at it. You would expect the same thing with your physician. They're going to do an evaluation. They do your blood work. Your mechanic's going to do an evaluation, hook up your car to, you know, some computer to find out what's wrong. Same thing with a leader. You're to evaluate a lot and have a culture where evaluation is expected and is not negative.
Yeah.
You know, it can be very, very positive.
Yeah. And again, just to kind of summarize and clarify that we are talking about, when we say evaluation, we are talking about ministry effectiveness according to purpose.
Yeah.
So those are some caveats you have to have in place. You have to have the standard. You have to have this culture of understanding. Mm-hmm. And that takes some work to get to. But once you do this, and what we're going to talk about, these ideas of consistent evaluation, honest evaluation, man, it really brings great balance and alignment to a pathway. Everybody that's ever been coached by us, you hear a lot about, we talk a lot about balance and alignment when it comes to ministry, because that's going to keep everything headed down the direction. And let's all remind ourselves, the pathway is not just this structure of ministry that we like to talk, that's people. People are on the pathway.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say, are we evaluating ministry according to its effectiveness to purpose? We're talking about really how good of a job are we doing to really meet the needs of the people we're called to serve?
Mm-hmm.
And so that should be handled critically. That should be handled. We should invite evaluation. It's not about, did you do a good job? What we're talking about today, there may be another place for that in your organization about people's you know, role and their effectiveness in their role. Right. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about effectiveness to a purpose, and how is it helping us stay aligned and stay balanced to the whole ministry growth pathway, the whole strategy to make and multiply disciples, to basically take somebody from far from God to a multiplying disciple maker.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're talking about. So I would say any skeptics or people that are fearful of evaluation, we must evaluate, because people are that important, because the mission's that important, and the mission will not be as effective if we don't keep our eyes on that evaluation process.
Yeah. Don't be surprised, though, if when you lean into evaluation that people bristle or get defensive at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
I think you just have to reassure over and over and over, hey, you're doing a great job. We all have room to grow. Nothing we do is perfect.
Yeah.
And so we want to continue to get better. And it's kind of a development mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need to get used to always trying to get better and developing.
Yeah.
And any athlete knows that, right?
Yeah.
How much film do they watch?
Oh, yeah.
Over and over and over, constantly evaluating how they can improve.
Yeah.
And this is kingdom work. This is eternal work,
yeah.
You know, not just winning a baseball game or a football game. So we need to have that same rigor.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk about what that looks like.
Yeah. So, you know, a few things we want to talk about today. The first thing I really want to point into is, all right, so when we look at a program, an event, a ministry initiative, some of them start out really great and they are hitting the mark.
Mm-hmm.
But then over time, for some reason, they become less effective. Or you also have something that there may just be, hey, we had a new initiative and it just did not hit the mark. There's kind of both cases, and you figure that out through evaluation. Maybe share an example, a real world example of one of those where you just really, where maybe that, like you found out something through evaluation. Do you have any programs or anything that, man, we saw this and we had to adjust?
Yeah, I mean, man, this is like, you know, every year we've got programs that we tried. Hey, this is a great idea. Let's try that. Yeah. And it didn't work very good. And so we killed it, or we didn't do that again, or some, hey, this was great. I tell the story. This is an old one. I can share more current ones. But one story that I shared in Bold Moves of you know, we did an event called Mission Colleyville, you know, years ago. You remember Mission Colleyville? And we had just thousands of people that would come. And mostly these were families that were not in our church, that were more struggling families financially. And we would give them gifts and so on to give their kids for Christmas. And we'd have a gospel presentation and people would, you know, come to Christ and that kind of thing, which sounds great. I mean, we were baptizing people on the spot a whole bit. What's there not to like? But as we started doing the evaluation, we looked at how many, you know, dollars we were putting into this, which it was substantial. And then we did follow up on every person that made a decision. I mean, we're going knocking on their door. We're doing hard work of follow up. And we did this after a couple of years. And Ben, can I tell you, not one person end up sticking with our church or staying connected to the church or getting in a group or anything like that after that event.
Yeah.
Not one out of all this work and all this effort. And at some point we were like, you know, is this really doing what we wanted to do? I mean, we can feel good that we saw some decisions made, but were they even really genuine decisions if they have no interest, spiritual interest at all the next day?
Yeah.
And so this created us to say, we got to evaluate, or is this the best way to do this? Or is there another way that can be more effective?
Yeah.
And so, you know, we ended up not doing that anymore. And we ended up pivoting to other things that we found were much more effective.
Yeah.
Okay. But this is a classic, you know, we do VBS every year, and I'm not harming on VBS. We just, you know, finished our venture week, but you know, we always do it, but you don't see any lost people come. You don't see anybody come to Christ, you know, then what are we doing, you know, or a Disciple Now, or, you know, these are all kind of general programs that a lot of people do. Trunk or Treats, gosh, we do Trunk or Treat, you know. Well, all our church kids would come to that, and nobody from the neighborhood would come to that. So, like, why are we doing this? What's the purpose?
Yeah.
If the purpose is community for our church people, then we knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
If the purpose was to reach lost people, then we miserably failed, you know. So what is the purpose?
Yeah.
So sometimes what happens is you have an event, let's say a Trunk or Treat or whatever, and it's to reach the lost in your community. You do it. It doesn't reach the lost, but everybody likes it. So we'll just move it over to Connect. You know, we keep rolling it and we keep doing it, but it's just a different purpose. You know, every leader has to make the determination as to whether that's hitting the mark or not. But I think what is important is identifying on the front end, what phase is it in our pathway, and what is the number one objective, how we're going to evaluate this.
What is that purpose?
And then you move into it. Now, granted, some programs, your church has been doing them for longer than you've been there, and you know, trying to kill the sacred cow is going to get you rolled. You know, you have to use discernment, right? You have to use, but facts are our friends, and I think that's where you come back to clarifying your win. Did you accomplish that win in the process of what you're trying to accomplish, you know, in that phase of the pathway? And I think that's where evaluation becomes effective.
Yeah, you have to move past the only measure of an event is, did people like it and did people show up? You have to, and again, that's where it comes to, back to purpose, back to effectiveness and accomplish that. I love it. Establish the win on the front end.
Right.
And that kind of puts in, so this idea of rhythms of evaluation. Mm-hmm. So, okay, great, you need to evaluate. It's important to evaluate, but what does that actually look like on a weekly basis, monthly basis? So again, so you do have a front end. Hey, we're going to have a new event, right? So there's a front end evaluation. That's part of that rhythm. So talk to me, like, what does that look like here on the front end?
So like at our church, we do our calendar planning biannually. So every 6 months, you're going to have to come up and say, okay, here's all the events that I'm doing. They articulate the win at that point.
Okay, yep. So before it's even happened.
Six months.
In their mind before they're,
They're going, okay, we're going to do this event. Here's the win. You know, it's just a very simple statement. You know, here's the win. Well, that win then becomes the measure by which you evaluate. Did we hit that win? You know, and it might be very specific. Like the win is to have at least 40 people, da, da, da. Or it may not be as specific. It's okay. I think everything is different. But you establish the win on the front end. So that's every other, you know, twice a year we're doing that for our general programming. Okay. And then when you get down to events, there are pre-event meetings where you're planning the event, which is a lot of that.
Setting expectations, reminding people of the win.
Remember the win, and here's what we're doing, and here's how we're doing to try to accomplish that win. And then we have a recap meeting immediately after that event.
Okay.
And the recap meeting is to do just that. Recap.
Yep.
What did we hit the win? Did we not hit the win? You know, did we sort of hit the win? How could we have done this better? And so those recap meetings are very important immediately after an event.
Yep.
So we do that. And then, of course, on an annual basis, we're looking at the whole strata of programming, and we're evaluating at the explore phase, connect, grow, and multiply. What are we doing in each one of these?
Yep.
And are they effective? And so I think you've got kind of macro evaluations, kind of just panoramic, fill up a marker board. What are we doing in these phases? Do we have programming? You're kind of looking at, do you have, like to your point, are we balanced in these areas? Do you have a lot in one phase and hardly nothing in other? So I think you look at that evaluation, that kind of gives you the bird's eye view.
Yeah.
And then you're going to dive into each one of those events or programs. And then you're going to evaluate how effective is this.
Yeah.
And then once you determine that, then you may have to, you know, bring about some change management in shifting gears. Well, we're not going to do that program anymore because we feel like this is better. Mm-hmm. And again, if you regularly evaluating several times with your leaders on that and they see that it's chronically missing the mark, then they're going to be more open to an improvement. Hey, we could actually improve by doing it this way. And it just helps in the transition. Yeah. Otherwise, people just get mad because you took away their Bible study or their event that they've always done forever.
Yeah, I think I've heard it said before, like the wins and the whys. So like, what is the win and why are we doing this?
Yeah.
And I think that helps when you go back to the idea of evaluation, because did it really hit the win? Did it hit the mark of why of the win and why we're doing this? Did it meet the need why we all said it's going to happen? Then yes. And I think, you know, your rhythm of evaluation before the event, right after the event, maybe pre-meetings, you said, you know, all that before, the right after, the core, you can adapt that even within each ministry department. And then you, as you and the senior leader team, again, that final year, how can we do that? I think it's scalable to within a department, with any ministry initiative, and as a church as a whole. And I think you should be doing both of, you know, your students are kind of doing an expression of this as well, your student team, and then also you as a senior leader team, you're doing this holistically as all ministries according to the pathway. But again, you got to have the pathway, you got to have the standard, you got to have, you know, the wins established. And I just love that ongoing rhythm. And it's going to take probably some years to really everybody to get on board with this is what we do.
Yeah. But this is such an important piece, right, of it. And so I think just setting those rhythms, as you said, are going to be really, really critical. So let's talk about tools of evaluation. There are two basic tools that we tend to use when it comes to programming or event evaluation. When we look at kind of panoramic, here are the phases, what are we doing in each one? When we start looking in one area that we want to make adjustments, we usually do the stop, start, continue. You know, what in this do we need to stop doing because it's just not being effective? What is it that we need to start doing because there's a gap here? Yeah. You know, we're not hitting this mark. We're not meeting the needs of this particular area. Or what do we need to continue doing? You know, we just need to continue to refine it and make it better and better. So I think that's a really simple tool, but it's very effective. Oh, yeah. What do we need to stop? What do we need to start? What do we need to continue? You can apply that in just about anything.
Oh yeah.
We were at a staff retreat back in January, and we were just talking about staff culture. And we just asked on staff culture, what do we need to start? What do we need to stop? What do we need to continue? Yeah. You know, and you got great feedback. So I think that stop, start, continue is a great little tool to have in your pocket.
Yeah.
In doing kind of general evaluation of whole programming, you know, across the board.
Yeah.
When it comes to zeroing in on an event or maybe a series of events, for example, like you do a men's breakfast or you do a women's thing, you do a series of them, then we like to use the tool of good, bad, missing, confusing. Mm-hmm. We use this all the time. Yeah. So what was good about the event? This is what we do in our recap. Yep. What was good? And we list off all the things that were good. We do this for Easter. We do this for Christmas Eve. What was good? Hopefully you got a lot of things on that list. What was bad? Hopefully you don't have a lot, but you might say, well, this was bad. You know, the signage was bad. You know, the parking, getting people out with parking, it was bad, or whatever the case may be. There are a couple of things that did not go well or did not go as planned. What was missing? That's a really interesting one. What was missing here that would have made it so much better?
Yeah.
And then what was confusing? What was confusing to your people? What was confusing to you? Basically, that's another way of asking, how could we be clearer? How could we bring clarity to this? Yeah. And maybe the win was confusing. And maybe the win was, you know, not dialed in as much as you wanted to. But what we found is that when we do good, bad, missing, confusing after an event or after a series or evaluating maybe a semester of programming, it's really insightful as to, you know, what you can do to improve it year over year. In fact, Ben, we do this in the preaching world. We do a lot of preparation for sermons. I think we've done a whole podcast on just how to prep for sermon. But after we finish a sermon series, like this Sunday, I'm finishing up a sermon series. The next Tuesday, I'm going to have a recap meeting, and we're going to look at what went good in the series, what was bad in the series, what was missing, what was confusing, how could we have done this better. And it just is a constant refining. So think about this. If you did this after every event, if you did this, you know, at a quarterly or biannual basis of your programming, and then if once a year you looked at the whole thing on a butcher paper or marker board, you're going to just start to build in that evaluation is just what we do.
Yeah.
And people get to kind of warmed up to the fact that we're always going to be evaluating how can we make this better. It's a striving to improve, not seeking who to blame. And the more you can filter that in the culture, the better you'll be.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I love those because they're simple. They're adaptable to every, that's a great, you know, any tool is simple and adaptable.
Right.
And so it's these great frameworks that it doesn't matter what type of ministry, what type of activity, you know, initiative, you can use that from your Sunday sermon to something that's a long-term ministry initiative, you know, big city ministry initiative. So I love that. A couple of things, you know, for our listeners too, that we want to share with you are some things I would think that would fit in that yearly, like if they were doing a yearly planning time or evaluation time, we use this with our people that we're coaching, we hand this to them. So we want to share this with the listeners too. So in the show notes, you can go down and you can download these two things. It's two tools that we use with every church that we're working with. It's a ministry alignment exercise and it's instructions on basically what you said, the whiteboard. Hey, here's our pathway and we're going to whiteboard this out. We have step-by-step instructions for them to go through that. So if you're listening, make sure you check underneath the episode and you can see how you can download that as well as this other little tool. It's called Purpose and Passion. And it's just a matrix of, and it's simple. You say, do people, how did, what are people's passion for this event? Well, they loved it, right? So it's a 10. Well, did it hit the purpose? Was it effective in hitting? Well, no. Okay, well, what do you do? So there's also some instructions of how you would evaluate that event. And is it something that, hey, this just maybe this event completely needs to go away. And it's really a great visual for a team where it kind of takes, like you're saying, it takes them out of it a little bit if they're honestly assessing it. And they can go on there and say, yep, people are really excited about it, but it does not hit purpose. Okay, what do we need to do? Well, we need to increase its purpose. How can we do that? Is it even possible? Well, no, then if it's not hitting purpose, it's got to go. But we've seen a lot when we evaluate with people. The interesting one is if it's hitting purpose, like a 10 on purpose, but a 0 on passion. People just don't show up for it. And that's a trickier one to do, but it's a really great visual. So both of those tools, I think, again, you can use them ongoing, but I think they're really great for that yearly. Hey, let's take a big look. And so we're going to make that available to our listeners and just go down. There should be a spot. You can fill out your information and it'll email you those PDFs. And so that's kind of our gift to you for listening. So I just, again, want to reiterate, constant, consistent evaluation is critical because there's people on the pathway and we are ministering to people. You are in the people business.
That's right.
And so it is necessary to do that. How do you keep that in front of your people? You've talked about that, just these simple tools and frameworks to develop these rhythms. Consistency, to me, is key.
Right.
In developing that expectation, that culture, taking everybody's, you know, themselves out of it. Hey, this isn't personal. This isn't attacking you because you ran that event. This is about purpose. Yeah. And then just, you know, having those tools and be able to, you know, have those effective tools to, and then just developing those rhythms, I think is key to do.
Yeah, that. You know, and I would start with baby steps. If you don't have any evaluation going on, just start with baby steps. One baby step could just be identify the win for every event and every program.
Yeah.
What is the win? You could start by mapping out what you're doing under the matrix that we're offering of Explore, Connect, Grow, Multiply. What are you, where do they land? How do your events land, your programming land? Yep. You'll have some healthy dialogue on that, I guarantee. But then what's the win? You know, and then that way you can come back and you can evaluate. And of course I would start with events because events are probably, you know, they're one short period of time and then you have an evaluation recap meeting right after. You could start factoring that in there. Then as you start planning, you can start, you know, folding the win in there as you plan with recaps. You're right there, you start doing that more and more and more and more. People start going, oh, okay, and it's what's good, bad, missing, confusing. And you just do it the same way with everything. And I think what you'll find is over the course of time, they'll start getting used to that. And then you can start looking big picture of, okay, what do we need to start? What do we need to stop? What do we need to continue in order to constantly be tweaking. I kind of just think about it like you go to the optometrist, which is better, you know, this. Yep. You're constantly doing that with your programming. Okay. What is clear? What is better? What needs to be tweaked? What needs to be just stay the course? We're getting good fruit out of it. But every program has its season, right? I mean, it just does. Nothing's going to last forever. Yep. And people change and the world changes. And just because you did, you know, that men's retreat, you know, for the last 50 years, maybe you don't, don't just need to do it because you're filling space on the calendar.
Sure.
You know, what is the purpose of that? So I think just that allows you to really evaluate, you know, your program and just get it better and better and more dialed in.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your insight on this topic. Again, I think it's something critical. I think honestly feel like it's something you do really well and leading really well. And I think we see that in how effective a lot of the events. Again, nothing's perfect. We're always going to have things that miss the mark. But I think you and your team do a great job of leading that out. You as a listener, again, we have these tools for you that you can download and you can kind of take what Craig said and his advice and kind of start implementing. We encourage you to do that. One more thing I want to leave you with is, you know, if you need help, if you would like us to come in as a coach, one thing we're actually starting to do is we are doing retreats where we're coming in and planning, doing these evaluation planning for a church staff. We have one coming up in August where we'll come and work with a church team, and we're going to help evaluate their ministry for them and lead them through these exercises. And again, it's a good way to have an outside voice. And so if that's something that we could talk about, logistics and all that would look at, reach out to us at disciplefirst.com/coaching, and you can schedule a free call with us right there. Anything else we can do to serve you, we are here to do that. And again, thanks for listening.